Let us call upon the name of our covenant God together in congregational prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we call upon thee as the God of all mercy and grace in Jesus Christ, who has been pleased to enlighten our eyes and give unto us the glorious gospel of salvation from our sin and misery and death through thine own beloved Son and only begotten Son, whom thou hast made our head and our mediator, whom thou hast given as thy covenant with us, whom thou hast called as thy servant to fulfill all things that pertain to our salvation and to execute all the counsels of thy holy will, and to bring all things to their perfect goal, which is thy glory and the salvation of thy church through Jesus Christ our head. We come before thee in this day, in this Sabbath day of rest, in that joy and in that confidence of thy mercy for thy people. We come, Father, as those who sojourn in a valley of the shadow of death. We see death's shadow hang over us. We smell it. We sense it. The death of iniquity and the death of sin. The darkness of unbelief and of hatred of thy word, of thee, and of one another. And we walk, Father, in our sojourn in a veil of tears, so that our way is attended by many trials, much suffering. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. All men count us as sheep for the slaughter. And we die daily. This is our sojourn. This is our wilderness. We thank thee, Father, that thou who art the God of the promised land, God of heaven and earth, who has made for thy people a dwelling place that abideth in heaven, and who has given unto us access to that dwelling place through Jesus Christ and the blood of the everlasting covenant. We thank thee, Father, that thou art with us in our wilderness, that thou art our shepherd, so that we may confess with thy church of all ages, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt give unto us in this day that comfort and peace of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that our hearts may be lifted up, that our hearts may be knit together with thee, our God, knit together also one with another by the mind of Christ, by the good news of his gospel and his redemption. that we may have together as a congregation one mind. One mind. That we may not be as a congregation double-minded. That we may not, as a congregation, judge different things, but may be of one judgment and one verdict together, which judgment and verdict and mind and mouth is that of thy word. Wilt thou give us grace then that we may put away our own mind, which is very difficult for us. We love our mind. We cling to it as an idol. And may we put away our own judgment and not judge according to the will of man and the will of our own heart, which can only lead to destruction and misery. But may we think together and speak together and judge together according to thy mind, thy will, and thy counsel, and thy good pleasure, all of which are known, all of which we have in the Scriptures, in the doctrine of the Gospel. We pray then, Father, that thou wilt come to our congregation in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is the Spirit of truth, and who is the Spirit of unity in the truth and in the Gospel, that thou wilt forgive our division, which division we confess is our own fault and our own rebellion. Be merciful to us and forgive our rebellion. We pray that thou wilt forgive all our false greetings and all our hatred and bitterness one towards another. Thou wilt cover these sins in the blood of Christ. That thou wilt soften our hearts, and that we may receive one another in the gospel of our Savior, even as Christ hath received us to thy glory. We pray, Father, that thou wilt drive away from the congregation every lie, that we may not be troubled by the lie, that we may not be thrown into turmoil time and time again by the lie, but that we may have in the truth peace and comfort and salvation. And that though the whole world around us shakes, and the mountains tremble and slide into the roaring, foaming sea, that we are safe in Thee, our refuge. We thank Thee, Father, that Thou art indeed our refuge, our shepherd, our rock, our Savior, our God, and our Father, for Jesus' sake. Be with thy servant this day who brings thy word. Wilt thou give unto him understanding of that word and the proclamation of it, that he may say, "Thus saith the Lord." We pray, Father, that thou wilt give us the hearing of faith, that that word by thy Spirit may enter into our hearts and be by thy Spirit a mighty power of our salvation, that we may see our own misery and acknowledge it, that we may confess we are blind and poor and naked, and that we may be filled with the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ and his perfect work. Wilt thou remember our congregation in all of our life together? We pray, Father, that thou wilt remember our sick and afflicted, those who are ill and who face many tests and examinations to determine the nature of the illness and the cause, if it can be known. We pray that thou wilt give to thy people peace in this, that we may not fret and worry about the morrow. We thank thee for the peace of Jesus Christ and his Spirit, that we may know we are held in thy eternal embrace, and that thy mercy is from everlasting to everlasting and carries us along through every test and through every sorrow. Be with those who recover from injury or illness. Remember our aged. Remember those in our midst who suffer afflictions of the mind and soul. Father, thou truly dost lead us to glory through the wilderness. And Father, truly, thou dost lead us through the wilderness, and art before and behind, and above and below, and on our right and left. Wilt thou comfort us in all of our afflictions, and teach us thy presence? Wilt thou be merciful to us, not imputing to us our transgressions, our many sins and our sinful mess? Wilt thou look upon us according to thy eternal counsel in Jesus Christ and count to us what is his righteousness, his obedience, his purity, his truth, his worship, his praying, his honor of thee? Count all of his things as ours, and receive us as thou dost receive thine only begotten Son. And declare this to us in the gospel, that we may have comfort, we sinners may have comfort and peace. Remember also he who walks in impenitence. By thy gospel wilt thou save from sin and death, from destruction and everlasting torment. We are sobered, Father, by the reality of impenitent sin, for we too, except for thy mercy and grace, would perish in our iniquity. Save, Father, by thy word and by thy Spirit, according to thy own will, and as it pleaseth thee, according to thy eternal counsel. And teach us to fear, Father, that we may not be the friends of sin, but that we may hate it and count sin and sinfulness to be wretched. And be with us, the chief of sinners, forgiving our iniquities in the blood of our Savior. And keep us from sin also. Give unto us thy Spirit. And by the gospel wilt thou transform us, that we may serve thee and bring forth all the fruits that thou hast before prepared that we should walk in gratitude and thanksgiving unto thee. Bless our worship. May thy name be honored. May we be fed. And hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. We worship the Lord now in the giving of our offerings. The first offering is for the general fund, and the second is for benevolence. Psalter number 323, where we pray, Lord, open thou my eyes to see the wonders of thy law. The four stanzas, all four of 323. God's Word this morning to Mark chapter 10. Mark 10. We continue working our way through this gospel account of the work and the words of our Lord. Today we read Mark 10 verses 46 through 52, the end of the chapter, which passage is also our text. Mark 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. This is the Word of God, holy and inspired. May God bless it to our hearts this morning. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the text is God's great mercy for wretched sinners. God's great mercy for wretched sinners. Mercy which causes the sinner to know his wretchedness, so that the sinner says, "I am blind." And mercy which delivers the sinner by giving unto him Jesus Christ and all his righteousness. There are many, many who are not blind and who do not need this mercy. But unto all of his own, to all of his elect, whom he seeks out and whom he goes to save, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the servant of Jehovah, brings mercy and salvation from blindness and the misery and wretchedness of sin. And I tell you, you are wretched. If you didn't know that, then listen. You are wretched. And I am. You are sinful. You are blind. You are miserable. And to all who are wretched and miserable in their sin, hear this blessed gospel. The Lord saves you. He delivers you from your iniquity and from all your misery, and causes you to see Him and all the glories of His kingdom. The doctrine of the text is God's mercy in Christ to miserable, wretched sinners, as pictured by Jesus' mercy towards blind Bartimaeus. Let us hear the doctrine of the text this morning then, under the theme, Jesus' salvation of blind Bartimaeus. In the first place, consider Bartimaeus' cry, and there we consider what Bartimaeus is saved from, so that that first point could be saved from what. In the second point, consider Bartimaeus' faith, and there we consider who saved Bartimaeus, so that that second point could be saved by whom. And in the third place, consider Bartimaeus' salvation. And there we consider what Bartimaeus was saved unto, so that that third point could be saved unto what. In fact, those are the points that I'm going to treat the material under this morning. Jesus' salvation of blind Bartimaeus. Saved from what? Saved by whom? And saved unto what? We find Jesus, as the text opens, leaving Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And the pertinent fact regarding Bartimaeus is that he was blind. That's what characterized him. That's how everyone knew him. He was a famous blind man. In fact, there was another blind man with him. There were two blind men. there outside Jericho. The parallel passages teach two blind men. But Bartimaeus was famous for being blind. Everybody knew Bartimaeus. They knew his father, Timaeus. They knew Bartimaeus sitting there by Jericho, apparently day in and day out, begging as a blind man. The fact that characterized Bartimaeus is that he was blind. And the blindness of Bartimaeus was a picture, a symbol that God used to point to Bartimaeus' misery. The salient fact about Bartimaeus is not merely that he was blind, but that he was wretched and miserable in his blindness. Blindness is an outstanding symbol in Scripture of misery. The blind man is a miserable man in Scripture. You can find that when you look at Revelation 3, for example, and Christ's letter to the church of Laodicea, and he lists there in Revelation 3 a whole string of wretched things about them. You are wretched. You are miserable. You are poor. You are naked. And you are blind. And that whole list of things is a description of their wretchedness and their misery. And blindness is among them. Blindness is prominent among them. The problem with the church in Laodicea is they didn't know it. You think you can see. You think that you are clothed. You think that you're rich. And thou knowest not that thou art poor and blind and naked and wretched and miserable. Blindness was an outstanding symbol in Scripture of misery and wretchedness. And look at Bartimaeus. You can see that wretchedness and that misery of his blindness all over him. Bartimaeus sat by the highway begging. And to sit by the highway begging in those days didn't look anything like sitting by the highway begging looks in our day. There was no curb or paved sidewalk or street even to sit upon. There was no median or street corner to set up upon. But the roads were dirt. To sit by the side of the road was dusty. And all the dust of all of the feet of the people and the animals coming and going in and out of Jericho would have been stirred up so that Bartimaeus would have been covered with the filth of the road. He would have been a dirty man. The garment that he cast aside when he would go to Jesus in a little while was covered with dust. And Bartimaeus sitting there on that dusty road with the press of the people right next to him, coming and going in and out of Jericho, was utterly helpless. He could not work. He could not bring himself from place to place. He couldn't even know what was going on around him, really. He could hear a few things. He could hear a throng of people. He could hear a tumult of noise. But he couldn't decipher it and discern what was going on and had to ask, what's the meaning of the tumult? Bartimaeus, as a blind man, was a helpless man sitting there by the side of the road. That's misery. That's wretchedness. And that wretchedness is underscored by Bartimaeus' cry when he finds out what this tumult is all about. Jesus of Nazareth is here, the people tell him. And immediately Bartimaeus begins crying out, have mercy! Have mercy! And that cry, have mercy, means, I have nothing. I am wretched. I am miserable. And if I am to be delivered, then someone must help me and must do everything for me. Have mercy upon me. Look at me in my misery. Understand my misery. Deliver me from my misery. And Bartimaeus, when he was shushed by the crowd, hold thy peace, Bartimaeus, shh. Then Bartimaeus cried out all the more, have mercy upon me. And there are some who interpret that redoubled cry of Bartimaeus to be an evidence of the strength of his faith. That may be. Jesus is going to say something about Bartimaeus' faith in a little bit. Thy faith hath saved thee. But I take that redoubled cry of Bartimaeus to underscore his misery. He was so wretched and so miserable that he could not be shushed. So wretched and so miserable that there was nothing for him but to cry out for mercy from the Son of David. And that's underscored by the fact that it appears from a comparison of this passage with the parallel passages that Bartimaeus did not cry out only on one occasion to Jesus, but that this was actually the first occasion of his crying out, and he would continue doing this a little bit later. You have to account in the parallel passages for the fact that in Mark, we read Jesus was departing from Jericho, but in one of the parallel accounts, Jesus is entering into Jericho. How can it be that Jesus healed Bartimaeus going out and coming in? And the explanation is something along these lines, that when we read about Zacchaeus, who was just outside Jericho, we read that Jesus and his disciples entered into and passed through Jericho and found Zacchaeus just outside Jericho. So Mark relates the cry of Bartimaeus as Jesus was leaving Jericho, just a little ways outside Jericho, not to get all the way to Jerusalem yet, but just to go a little ways outside Jericho, where Jesus met Zacchaeus. And then Zacchaeus took Jesus with him back to his house in Jericho. So that Jesus went out of Jericho and heard the cry of blind Bartimaeus, or Bartimaeus at least cried out. And then coming back in to Jericho, Bartimaeus cried again. Bartimaeus continued crying unto the Lord and continued beseeching the Lord for mercy. That underscores his misery and his utter wretchedness. And then further underscoring that wretchedness is the fact that when the people, after shushing him, hear from Jesus, no, bring him to me, then the people say to him, be of good comfort, be of good cheer, the Master calleth for thee. So that they are saying to this Bartimaeus, we know you're wretched, we know you're miserable, now be of good comfort, for he calleth thee to come unto him. Bartimaeus, the blind Bartimaeus, was utterly, utterly wretched and miserable. That's the picture. That's the spiritual meaning of that symbol of blindness, that picture of blindness. It is the misery and the wretchedness of the sinner. Because sin is wretched. The sinner is miserable. He's blind. The wretchedness of that blindness is that in his blindness, the sinner has only himself. That's the wretchedness. That's blindness. Blindness is like a wall. When we see, we can see all the things around us. When we sit outside of Jericho and we can see that it's Jesus of Nazareth. When we can see, we have an access and an entrance into the whole world around us. But in blindness, there's a wall, a veil that falls over our eyes so that we're left with ourselves. That's the wretchedness of blindness. And that's the wretchedness of the child of God by nature. Of yourself, you have only yourself. And you are weak. You are wicked of yourself, and I am. You are rebellious of yourself, and I am. In blindness, the man has only himself. Now that's the way that all of Jerusalem and all of Jericho and all of the world loved it. That's what they wanted. They wanted themselves. They wanted man. Man was something in the eyes of all of those who would soon crucify the Lord. Man was powerful and man was glorious, and man's will must not be thwarted, and man's way must not be overthrown. Man would have what man would have. That was the blindness of all of the men in Jerusalem and all of the men in Jericho who were unbelievers. The blindness was that they loved that they had only themselves. They didn't see that as misery at all. That is the threat to the child of God. That the child of God has himself and he loves it. He has his work. He has his will. He has his way. And when the Word of God comes to him and says to him, no, not your will, not your work, not your way, that man hates it and rejects it. What explains what's going on there? What explains it is this: he's blind. He's blind, and that's what he wants. He wants to be blind. He wants himself and will not suffer the Word of God to teach him anything but himself. That's the misery of blindness. That in blindness there's a wall, a veil, so that one has only himself. And now the salvation of blind Bartimaeus was that blind Bartimaeus knew already that he couldn't have himself. He knew that he must have the Son of David to deliver him. He knew that his blindness was wretchedness and misery. The salvation of blind Bartimaeus did not happen at the end of the passage when Jesus gives to Bartimaeus his sight. That was only the symbol of what had already been given. The salvation of blind Bartimaeus happened before Jesus ever came to Jericho. The salvation of blind Bartimaeus happened with the news of the Messiah that spread on the lips of the people, which news was carried by the Spirit of Jesus Christ into the heart of blind Bartimaeus, so that blind Bartimaeus knew the wretchedness of his blindness. He knew he was blind. He knew he was shut up to himself by nature, and he hated it. He knew that he needed the work and salvation of another. Blind Bartimaeus was a child of God. And the evidence of it is that when he cries out to Jesus, his cry is not this, "Lord, give me an alms. I need to buy some bread today," or something along those lines. But his cry is this, "I must see. I must see. I cannot have myself. There's nothing for me in myself. I must see. I must have thee, thou Son of David." God had given to blind Bartimaeus the salvation that he had not given to many, many in Jericho and Jerusalem and in all of the rest of the land. They were blind. They needed only man, only themselves. They did not need Christ. They hated him. And as fast as they could put him out, they would. They needed no Savior. For they saw, so they thought. Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, you are blind and wretched and naked and poor in yourself. You do not see. You do not see in yourself. The church must know that. A reformed church must know that. A reforming church must know that. Because the temptation for you today and for you always will be to say, "Ah, but now, after what we've come through, now I am something. God has made something of me, a man. Now we see. Now we are wise." So that the church begins to believe that her life with God in this world is the life of her will. And the church begins to teach that she will be governed by her will. That's your danger. That's mine. In reality, the salvation of Jehovah is not this, that he now says, "Thy will be done. Thy will be done." But the salvation of Jehovah is that he shows you this, you're blind. And that must be the confession of the child of God all his life. Never on this earth does the child of God ever say, "But now I, in myself, am anything other than blind." His cry must always be, "I am wretched and miserable in myself, according to my old man. My will is not good. God's will alone is good. My word is not true. God's word alone is true." That must be the acknowledgement of the child of God. And that is the acknowledgement of the child of God by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's the salvation of blind Bartimaeus. That belongs to the salvation of blind Bartimaeus. That he understands, "I'm blind. Bartimaeus was saved from his misery by Jehovah God through Jesus Christ. There's something startling about this passage. There's something startling about what blind Bartimaeus said. There was something that would have been startling to all of the people who heard him, and may have been one reason why they were trying to shush him and tell him to hold his peace. There was something that would have been startling to the leaders of the Jews if they could have heard what blind Bartimaeus said there outside Jericho. And what was so startling is this, that blind Bartimaeus addressed Jesus as the Son of David. That's not how Jesus was introduced to Bartimaeus. When Bartimaeus asked, "What's the tumult?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth is here." That's who's here, Jesus of Nazareth. They don't give him any title in that. They don't acknowledge his identity in that. All his identity is in that name, Jesus. But they weren't saying the name that way. They were saying it as a handle. Jesus of Nazareth is here. And how does Bartimaeus address him? Not this, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me." But, "Jesus, thou Son of David." And Son of David meant something. Son of David was a title that had been impressed upon the soul of the people of the Old Testament and of that day. It was a title that took the whole Old Testament in its arms and that applied that whole Old Testament to Jesus. Because Son of David was the title of the Savior. It was the title of God's anointed king, whom God would raise up to deliver his people. Son of David identified that one as the one who had been promised for 4,000 years of the history of the church, from paradise after the fall of Adam and Eve, when God said, "I will give you a son," or the seed of the woman. Through Abraham, when God had promised to establish his covenant with his son, or the seed of Abraham. To King David, when God had promised to raise up his son and set him upon David's throne and build him an everlasting kingdom. Son and Son of David meant something. It was the title of the Messiah, the title of the Christ, the title of the servant of Jehovah, the title of the one who would bring the promised salvation to God's people. And now Bartimaeus cries out in the hearing of all the people, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." When Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus as the Son of David, then Bartimaeus was reaching even beyond Jesus into God's own counsel and to God Himself. Because Jesus was not, by any happenstance, the Son of David. The Son of David would not be somebody who happened into Israel. The Son of David was God's servant, sent by God to deliver his people. So that Son of David refers to the good pleasure of Jehovah and to God himself as the Savior of his people. Bartimaeus says regarding that Son of David, "Have mercy upon me. Bring to me all that God has decreed and all that He has given through His servant." The one who delivered Bartimaeus from himself and from his wretchedness and misery was Jehovah God himself through Jesus Christ. That teaches the mercy of God for his miserable people. It teaches Jehovah's grace, compassion, pity, favor for his people. And you must know that too. You must know your misery. You must know about yourself, you are wretched. And you must know that God is very merciful. And according to his own mercy and grace, has sent the Son of David to deliver his church from her sins. And that deliverance, by the mercy of Jehovah God, exactly corresponds to the need of the church. It exactly corresponds to the fall of the church. This way, that whereas my blindness is that I have only myself, God's mercy for his church is that he takes away yourself. He takes away all your works, every one of which is polluted with sin. And he puts all of you and all of your works on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives to you himself. He gives to you his own righteousness, which is the righteousness of Christ. He gives to you all the works and all the worth of Christ. He gives to you the praying of Christ, the worship of Christ, the obedience of Christ. He gives all of that to you. Counts it as yours, though you didn't do it. So that the child of God who is blind and is miserable having only himself now has Jesus Christ in all of his fullness, all of his glory, and all of his perfect work and worth. That's the mercy of Jehovah God in the Son of David. Son of David, have mercy upon me. That's the salvation that Jehovah works for his beloved church. When Jesus says, therefore, to Bartimaeus, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. First of all, Jesus is not talking about healing from physical blindness there. It's true, Jesus healed Bartimaeus' physical blindness. Bartimaeus saw. But Jesus literally says there, go thy way, thy faith hath saved thee. Salvation is the issue. Thy faith hath saved thee. And Jesus, speaking of Bartimaeus' faith there, is not speaking of Bartimaeus. The lesson Jesus is teaching is not this, that there is something of you that will deliver you from this blindness. But rather, Jesus means by faith here what he always means by faith and what the Word of God always means by faith, the object of your faith. The one to whom your faith is united. You are united by faith. The one to whom you look by faith. Thy faith hath saved thee means God saved you. The Son of Man saved you. And the Son of David saved you. The doctrine of the text may not be man. It simply cannot be man. It's blind Bartimaeus. It's wretched Bartimaeus. It's nothing of Bartimaeus. But it is the mercy, the sovereign saving grace of Jehovah. And so your salvation is nothing of you, but only of the mercy of Jehovah. The Son of David saved Bartimaeus unto the following of him. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. The salvation of blind Bartimaeus brought forth the fruit of Bartimaeus following Jesus Christ, worshiping Jesus Christ, seeing Jesus Christ in all of his work, and glorifying the God who had sent this Son of David for his salvation. That's always the fruit of the salvation of the blind people of God by the Son of David and his mercy. The fruit is the worship and the following of Jehovah. The worship of Jehovah in gratitude for what God has done, for he hath not left us with ourselves, but hath given us himself and the Son of David. That's the healing of blind Bartimaeus, and that is the gospel for the Church of Jesus Christ, Jehovah God, and his mercy toward wretched sinners. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word to us this morning. Comfort us by it. Forgive our sins. Have mercy upon us. We thank thee for Jesus Christ, who is thine only begotten Son, our Lord, and who has